Hey everyone, before we get started, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you for their initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you just want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your applications in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
This is Ryan Archidak, nice guy to the Bulls HQ podcast, all the way from Australia. We represent, and thanks for all the support.
Fans, welcome to another episode of Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Sports Podcast Network. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the show. One where we can sort of step back a little bit from this season and maybe take stock of our surprisingly good rookie, in my eyes at least, Patrick Williams. I wanted to have a bit of a longer form conversation about Patrick Williams, what he's been doing through the first 30, 35 games of this season. We're effectively at the halfway point of this Bulls season, so We've got time here, but we've also got a large enough sample to sort of go over what Patrick Williams has done, how he's maybe impressed us, the areas of opportunities that we maybe see he can develop through the second half of his season. So that's what I want to talk about, and here joining me to discuss Patrick Williams, in my opinion at least, is one of the go-to draft guys that I use from an online point of view. I've made it very clear on this podcast before that I am certainly not a draft expert, so I lean on probably 5 to 10 people online, and one of those resources that I constantly read during the draft process is PD Webb, and he is joining me on this episode of Bulls HQ. PD, how are you, mate?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited to talk about Patrick Williams, maybe my favorite player in last year's draft.
Yeah, I've seen some things from you specifically in your Twitter page where you have spoken quite glowingly about Patrick Williams, and for me as a Bulls fan, like I said at the top, I'm not necessarily a draft maven, let's say. So when I see, you know, voices like yourself say some quality things about my guys, let's say, guys on my team, specifically in this case Patrick Williams, and you know, you offer up that type of praise, it's validation, one, for me, that, you know, the things that I'm seeing, but it's also good that you have, you know, that validation from scouts like yourself who are covering all rookies across, you know, the entire NBA landscape, but specifically here for Patrick Williams, that you have said some quite positive things. So maybe we can start there, mate. Like, what is it that you're seeing from Patrick Williams thus far this season that would, like you sort of said, make him one of your favorite, if not one of your favorite rookies? And how is that sort of perception about Patrick Williams maybe shifted from his time at Florida State to what we're seeing here now with Chicago?
So I would have taken Patrick Williams number one overall if I were at the Timberwolves. That's the level of optimism I had about Pat.
Wow.
And the difference between, I think, how people who covered the draft year-round and NBA fans at large reacted to the pick by Chicago was two really different worlds. Mm-hmm. Because some draft people were like, oh, Pat fell. Like, Pat fell to Chicago, where there was, it seems, a little less excitement about Pat Williams than there among the broad NBA fan base than the draft people have. And that makes a degree of sense. At Florida State, he wasn't a super heralded recruit, only, you know, top 30 or so. Florida State is not a place that is a glamorous school. Everyone goes there to play defense. Pat Williams went there explicitly to work on his motor and to play defense.
Yeah.
And nobody averages more than 13 points a game. What it does produce is players who know how to make defensive rotations, players who know how to read the floor, and guys who can shoot. So for me, when I see a young guy who has an advanced frame, who can read the game, and who has the ability to read a defense better than could be expected of most players a year or 2 years older than him, that's the sort of player you want to buy in on from a team-building perspective because you can fit so many other unique pieces next to him. My concern with the Bulls specifically was that they were going to play him at powerful, or they were going to play him at the three exclusively because that's how the roster's kind of set up. The biggest concern with him coming out of Florida State was a movement disorder that he had. He gained too much weight in his quads, and he struggled to move laterally. So when he would be switched onto ones or twos, it would be pretty easy work. And by the time that the redraft had finished, like around the time of the draft, you could see from his workouts with, I believe, Olin Zeblis, a fantastic skills development trainer in Los Angeles, that he was moving a lot better and that he had readjusted his lower body. And, I mean, two, three games in, I could see a difference in how Pat Williams was defending wings, was defending even, you know, down onto twos and ones. It's not the mobility of, like, a Jonathan Isaac, but it's a dramatic growth. And these aren't necessarily the skills that, like, get the fans out of their seats. Like, people aren't like, yeah. Oh, my God, he's moving in space on defense.
Yeah.
But then when you look at, you know, the offensive stats, you have somebody that's, 47, 40, 80 for, 2-point, 3-point free throw. That's a pretty astounding level of shooting for a guy who wasn't automatically labeled to be a shooter. So Pat is producing in the standard offensive ways, along with developing upon a pretty cerebral defensive platform coming out of Florida State.
Yeah, I think everything that you mentioned there is why it's kind of been an interesting test case of how this fan base, let's say, how the Bulls fans base has sort of reacted to the Patrick Williams era through the life of that era. Obviously, it's very small at this point. But, you know, the moment he was drafted, you know, people like me, maybe less so me, I was okay with the pick because I was just sort of, whoever they took at number four, I just was resigning myself to them being maybe a high-level role player, let's say, less so of a star player, but maybe that's different now with Patrick Williams. But so I was okay with it. I didn't really know a ton about Patrick Williams because I just didn't study Patrick because I didn't expect him to be the number four pick. Maybe, obviously, you know, draft guys like yourself felt very differently. But because of that, like, come draft night, Bulls fans didn't know what to make of it. We've seen him sort of over 30 games now, you've seen that defensive potential, you know, what he does on the defensive end. But to the comment that you made before, like, so much of the value that he sort of brings is the stuff that happens off ball, that if you're not specifically locking in on Patrick Williams and what he does on defense, but even on offense too, off ball as well, like, you can kind of miss the good stuff that we have seen him thus far through his 30, 31 games, whatever it might be. To the point where I'm watching this guy, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong or right, but I'm watching this guy do things in terms of a reading the game point of view that I would expect from a 4 to 5 year veteran, not a 19-year-old kid who hasn't had any real off-season, from a professional standpoint at least, in the NBA. And, like, that's where it kind of, like, floors me at times, the fact that, you know, the things that he is doing that I would expect veterans to be doing. And to be fair, I mean, we're talking about Zach LaVine's improved defense this year, but I mean, this is year 7 for Zach. Sometimes it's not even things 4 or 5 year vets could do, but I'm seeing Patrick Williams do that. So in that sense, maybe you can expand on what you've seen from Patrick Williams defensively. We'll start defensively and why we should be so excited about what he can be as a defender, maybe more off ball than on ball, but also obviously we can touch on his on ball defense, what we've seen there too.
Pat's the youngest player in the NBA, and it doesn't feel that way when you watch him rotate down off help, or when you watch him, you know, navigate hammer screens. There's a maturity about his game, but it's also that, like, he's in the right spot at the right time, which is really foundational for building a team. It seems sort of basic, but to have guys in the right spots, even if the team isn't fantastic, are what sets the table for the next player who comes into the team, whether it's through a trade or through the draft or free agency, to be a building block going forward. So that you already have some, you know, defensive actions that are cemented. And that can be hard because you can't necessarily point to that. When you've been a franchise that has had a downward swing for a couple of years, you want to be able to point to something and be like, this is what's happening. This guy is dropping 30. Like, this dunk is happening. And to look at something that feels like marginalia, like, you know, help side defense or making the correct rotation, doesn't matter until it does. And when it does, you're a playoff team all of a sudden because you have a guy who does his job and does his job well. And with Pat, I think there is some funkiness about how he's deployed. I would like him to be a four long term because then it allows you to get as much skills on the court as possible. Obviously, this is very much a transitional year, having like six power forwards and Thaddeus Young becoming Magic Johnson. Like, these are things that weren't exactly foreseen. Some of it's roster, some of it's development, but there's an overlap, and Pat has had to guard threes a little bit more than I think the plan would have suggested. His best defensive skill that would show up on a stat sheet is his weak side rim protection. And when he's guarding threes, he isn't always able to get to that. It's a pretty far rotation from opposite side slot to near side to make a contest. But when he guards fours, you see that explosiveness, long arms, and the ability to get vertical that is very special for a player his age. So with the off-ball, it's the savvy, but it's also there is a role that makes a ton of sense and a role that is extremely valuable that he will get to on the next great Bulls team. And right now it's just keeping him on the court as much as possible to see what he can do, you know, just trying out new roles, trying out some of the skills that he's gained during the pre-draft process and during his first 30 games with the Bulls, which one of those is, you know, getting thrown at the jumbo creators of the world. I watched both Mavs games. I watched the Clippers games, and they're giving Pat a shot against Luka and Kawhi, against Braun, and he's not doing as bad as I thought. Like, rookies are almost always not going to be good. Because the NBA is extremely hard.
Yeah.
But you can see that there is the outline of a player who's going to be a formidable on-ball defender, specifically with strength-based creators. Like, I don't think he's ever going to get the foot speed to get put on an island against, like, Dame or Steph. But the fact that he can give Kawhi some trouble or, you know, hold some ground against Kawhi until help arrives is extremely encouraging.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that has been one of the most encouraging things over the first 30, 31 games of this Bulls season. I mean, the Bulls currently sit sixth in the Eastern Conference. If they win against the Suns tomorrow, then there's a chance that they're sitting in the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference, which is kind of crazy to say. So there's a lot of good things happening in Chicago right now, but I think one of the really surprising things, one of the really great things that we have seen throughout the first 30-odd games of this season thus far is the fact that, to your point, you know, you've been able to throw Patrick Williams from an on-ball point of view onto guys like Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron. Now, there's been, you know, varying degrees of success to that. I mean, Giannis completely wrecked him on occasions, but against LeBron, I mean, a lot of the time LeBron was sort of having to, you know, rely back onto his step back jumper, and even in those scenarios, Patrick Williams was right there sort of contesting those jumpers. LeBron still got his points, Kawhi still got his points. Those guys will always get their buckets, but like you sort of said, the fact that you've got a 19-year-old rookie sort of holding his own and making those guys compete from their offensive standpoint, like, that is super encouraging. And I wasn't expecting that on-ball defense this soon, which is kind of interesting as well, because I guess part of the other element of Patrick Williams that, you know, has been hotly debated amongst Bulls fan base is, you know, what ultimate position should he be? And, you know, I'll be very clear, like, my thinking on it was that he is a power forward, and a lot of my thinking on this topic about, you know, what position Patrick should be played is often shaped by, you know, guys like yourself, Jackson Frank, who had a fantastic article through the draft process as well on Patrick. I had him on the show, I think, prior to the draft, after Patrick Williams was drafted by the Bulls. So in reading all that stuff, like, I assumed Patrick was going to be a power forward. I still think that is the best case. But now, I don't know, is there more semblance of the fact that maybe Patrick can survive as a small forward, and maybe that maybe changes how the Bulls should go about sort of constructing their roster? Or are you still very strictly thinking this guy's a power forward, let's get in a smaller wing, let's say, and to your earlier point, let's try to get more ball handling on the floor? Like, I'm assuming it's the latter, but maybe you can clarify that point.
I think that I still believe that Pat is a four long term. For team building perspective. But the degree to which you can play him as a three has shifted.
Mm-hmm.
So before if you watch, the University of Miami game at Miami, during his freshman year, they have a 5'7" point guard named Chris Likes. Mm-hmm. And, I'm pretty sure Pat Williams still has nightmares about that game because they got switches and he just abused Pat in isolation. And so in my thinking, when you see a guy who has that serious of movement problems in space, you want to limit as much time on the wing as possible. There's going to be moments when there are less mobile people than him at the four or at the five, and so you have to play him as a wing. But I was thinking pre-draft as much as possible at the four. Now I can, depending on lineup and depending on matchup defensively, if there is a bigger body three, if you're playing a Morris brother or somebody like Kawhi who is strength forward, who tries to win with the weight room.
Yep.
You can put Pat Williams on them. If a team goes small and there are three guys out there are all, slender shake-based guys, I would not want to put Pat at the three. But I feel much more confident in him getting those minutes and him getting those minutes and having them be positive. Some of that is also that his shooting has held up to a masterful degree, so there's not a trade-off. Often guys who have his specific shooting motion have some struggle adjusting to the NBA line. For his lifetime numbers, which is his high school, his summer EYBL, and Florida State, I have him around 40% from three, 41.9% from three on 236 attempts. So I was kind of thinking he was going to be like a 35-36% three-point shooter as he adjusted to the line. And he's just come out and really been consistent. He's at or right at 40 through 30 games. I mean, in the games I watched, I thought that Pat, for his role, was one of the most consistent Bulls, which is, again, inspiring stuff for a 19-year-old. But it also bodes really well that if the perimeter skills hold and the feel for the game holds, movement holds, like, maybe you can try some more things with him as a three.
Yeah, I certainly think there's more scope to that than what I initially thought. I still think he's probably that power forward, but call me crazy here, but do you think there is... And maybe this is forecasting a little too ahead and maybe forecasting based on maybe where the league may or may not go. But do you think there is even some scope where, I don't know, Patrick Williams could play some small ball center? And the reason why I say that is, he's a massive kid. He's a 19-year-old and he already has an NBA-ready body. He's huge. The more you put him through an NBA training program, he's obviously he can get bigger, assuming you want him to get bigger. Maybe that's not the case. But... From what the Bulls are doing at this point of view, I mean, they're playing Wendell Carter at starting center. He's not a massive center in terms of, height and frame, let's say. But even their backup center at this point is Thad Young, who's traditionally been a power forward. So I'm just sort of thinking ahead, maybe where the league is going. Maybe, obviously the fact that Thad Young is a 32-year-old, he's not in his prime anymore, despite, the things that he's doing this season. So maybe that isn't true. But in that sense, like, is there some scope where... In certain rotations, in certain lineups, depending on who the other team is sort of rolling out there. I mean, can Patrick Williams, rather than scaling down to small forward or even shooting guard or something like that, is there scope for Patrick Williams to maybe even scale up towards center at some point?
100%. NBA center is the hardest defensive position because you have to know all of the rotations. And there's so many possibilities to both internalize and communicate to other people. And those are the micro skills that Patrick Williams is best at. So if his body can hold up and you can get a lineup that makes sense, getting enough shooting on the floor and getting enough defenders on the floor at the other four spots, like having Pat play some center in, paced space lineups is something that the Bulls should absolutely look towards. If not this year, by the beginning of next year.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I'm not sure if he'd hold up just now, but to everything that you sort of noted, he seems like he can transition that way, assuming the league continues its fascination with, putting as many ball handlers on the court as possible, which is why we why we have guys like Patrick Williams playing power forward now, where in the past maybe he's a two, maybe he's a three, whatever it might be. So it's just an interesting idea, and I don't know if there's a lot of Bulls fans maybe thinking about it. Well, we're still debating, you know, what, is he a three, is he a four? And I guess that debate is sort of still gaining momentum right now, given that Patrick Williams right now is effectively this team's starting power forward, and that is likely due, or not likely, it is due to the fact that Lauri Markkanen is currently out injured. So the Bulls haven't necessarily missed a beat with Markkanen out, in large part due to Patrick Williams. A lot of it is due to Thad Young, though Thad is playing a lot of his minutes at center, but because Patrick has been so good and so comfortable at power forward, should the Bulls be thinking about shaping their roster going forward around someone like Patrick Williams and the versatility that he does have? And in that sense, does someone like Patrick Williams really shape the decision around someone like Lauri Markkanen?
100%. Like, are we fully certain that Lauri Markkanen is a better shooter than Patrick Williams at this point?
No, I'm not. I'm certainly not.
And shooting isn't what I would say is Pat's, you know, maybe even second or third best skill. While it's a bit jarring, considering that, like, he, again, doesn't have the sexiest game, he's, to me, the foundational piece, more than anything else. And, like, Zach LaVine is a wonderful basketball player. Thad Young has been great, but Patrick Williams is at the most valuable position at the NBA, which is, you know, a versatile wing player. He has shown flashes that almost no other young player in the NBA has currently. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be planned around. So figuring out, you know, how many minutes can he play with Wendell at the five? What does that offensive rating look like? Should we try to go two guards, a wing, and then a somewhat big around him? Like, to me, Patrick Williams is the decision around which all the Bulls' future should depend, regardless of how this playoff push works, regardless mm-hmm. of how high or how low they are. You have one of the most valuable assets in the NBA, a wing who is good, who is versatile, and who is young and under contract for seven more years. Start to put in a plan now, because everything else can always be rearranged depending on his prime.
No, like I alluded to it at the top of the show, when I see you posting good things about Patrick Williams, that is always music to my ears, but even more so in this conversation. So that is good to hear. And I guess coming back to some, you know, the perceptions of Patrick Williams, I guess another topic that remains, you know, part of the undercurrent, I guess, of the conversation amongst the fan base is, you know, prior to the draft, there was rumors around whether the Bulls should trade up into the top two or three. There was those rumors of the Bulls moving pick number four and Wendell Carter to sort of jump up to pick number two, which that sort of conversation died down a little bit. But given what LaMelo has been doing this season, it's sort of still bubbling away to a degree, in large part because of what LaMelo is doing, but to what we sort of discussed before, like, you have to really lock into what Patrick Williams is doing on the basketball court to really sort of appreciate what he's actually bringing in terms of value. But I don't know, how do you think someone like myself, talking to Bulls fans, how should we address that sort of conversation, given what LaMelo is doing? Again, we don't even know if that trade was available, whether the Bulls would actually do that. But given what LaMelo has done, given what Patrick Williams is doing, where do you sort of stand on that thing now that we're 30-odd games into the season?
If they had traded up to get LaMelo, though, also would have involved, you know, a cascading trade to make sense with this roster. So then it would probably be, you know, Kobe has to go, and mm-hmm. and then Thad Young wouldn't be as valuable because he can't really run offense through him. Like,
yeah.
As wonderful as LaMelo has done so far, that's not necessarily how the Bulls roster or X's nose work. It would have required a full shift to get him, and that's not to say that LaMelo isn't going to be good, because LaMelo is fantastic. But the vision that this franchise has doesn't necessarily overlap with the vision of having LaMelo Ball in your franchise. And so I would say that I would look at those standings and say Patrick Williams does have a good amount to do with this, and you know, the grass does sometimes look greener, but I think that as this season plays out and as Pat starts to get a little more authoritative, Bulls fans should feel pretty good, regardless of what, you know, Wiseman or Ball or any other player really has with regards to the rookie season.
Now, to that point, I guess where there is scope for Pat to really maybe capture the eyes of those people who aren't necessarily tuning into every single Bulls game or haven't necessarily noticed the things that Patrick is doing, and like that scope of, you know, his improvement is probably going to come on the offensive end. At least that's where Patrick Williams will grab a lot of Bulls fans. And I think at this point, the fact that he's averaging 10, 11 points, 5 to 6 rebounds, and you sort of quoted the shooting splits before, the fact that he's doing that without being really a focal point at all, and he's just found it, he's seamlessly found a way to fit in. I mean, that in itself projects Patrick Williams to be, you know, a very high level role player. But beyond that, he's done some things where you sort of stop to question, I'm at, can this guy be a little bit more than that? Like, well, coming into this season, I was thinking, you know, if he can sort of project to be a Jeremy Grant level talent, and I'm referring more to the Denver Nuggets version of Jeremy Grant, that would be very ideal. But now, you know, seeing what Jeremy Grant has done and the way he's sort of taken off, like, is there scope for someone like Patrick Williams to come in here, maybe do some things more on ball? He looks super comfortable sort of rising up for that mid-range jumper. You know, from a ball handling point of view, he's flashed some moves where it's like, okay, maybe if he just takes, you know, 2 or 3 extra dribbles and gets confident with that, there's some scope for him to be a real on-ball threat, which is things that we were sort of talking about at the draft, but we weren't so sure about. But now after 30 games, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, maybe there is some scope to that. I mean, has your perception of what Patrick Williams can be as an offensive player shifted after these 30-odd games?
No. If anything, his playmaking hits a little bit disappointed. At Florida State, when he was allowed to run pick and roll, again, they run a very thinly spread offense where everybody gets a handful of possessions. He was capable of running a pick and roll and diagnosing the defense really quickly and getting left-handed skip passes out to the corner. And I thought that, you know, the Bulls didn't necessarily have a venue to give him a bunch of creation possessions. But when teams have been closing out hard, he's been able to pick out good passes. So I think that the thing that may be the next step in terms of fans' perception of him is as he starts to get a larger playmaking role, whether it's through injuries or, you know, through teams adjusting and taking a little bit of that away or taking a little bit of Zach away, is going to give Pat those opportunities to try to pick apart the defense. And I think that he has a lot more playmaking chops than he's generally given credit for. And I think that because there's sort of this idea that he's sort of a dull prospect, it eliminates the fact that we're talking about a dribble pass shoot wing with great shooting splits, who is capable of defending between 3 positions potentially, with more depending on the build of the smaller guy. That's the sort of thing that like championship teams dream about. I was having a conversation with a scouting friend about a player in the 2021 draft, Jonathan Kuminga, who's seen as a threat to be the number one pick. You know, he's a 6'8". Super athletic ball, wing, and really put pressure on the rim. And I asked him, like, well, what exactly is he better at than Patrick? And, I was like, he's not a better passer. He's not a better shooter. He, you know, attacks the rim harder, but he's not a better defender. He's not a better team defender. He's not a better communicator. And that led me to believe that, like, Patrick Williams would probably be my third best prospect behind Evan Mobley and Cade Cunningham in this hyper stack draft. And he went number 4 in a much worse draft. So, to put that in some perspective, like Pat Williams by age would most likely be in this draft. Like most people who are his age are in this one.
Yep.
And I would have him third at very worst. This is a special guy.
Yeah. Clearly the messaging is you're all in on this guy. So again, I love to hear it, but I guess the way the Bulls are currently set up as well. I think that there is scope for Patrick to really flash more of that offensive game. And we've sort of seen it occasionally where, I mean, from a point guard perspective, he's brought the ball up. He's made a couple passes here and there. But if you think about the way the Bulls are currently constructed, the way Zach should be used, the way more so Kobe White than Zach. I mean, you've got two guys who, you know, really excel from a catch and shoot standpoint to the point where you could put the ball in someone like Patrick Williams has the hands to create on certain possessions. And then you have guys like Zach, guys like Kobe sort of flanking around the wings, maybe coming off screens, and you could have Patrick Williams creating for those guys. So that is something that I've been like thinking a lot about lately, and I'm thinking about Patrick Williams' season in blocks of 20 games, in part because there's, you know, roughly 70 games in this season, let's say. The first 20-odd games, I was hopeful that he would just sort of fit in and show some things, which he clearly has. Second lot of games, I've wanted to see some improvement on, you know, from a rebounding point of view. Like the first 10, 15 games of this season, he wasn't rebounding very well. But now with Larry Markkanen out, he's essentially averaging 7 rebounds a game since he's been a power forward. So, like, tick the box there. So I'm thinking for the next 20-odd games, like, can we see those passing chops from Patrick Williams that you sort of reflected on just then, and can we get him more involved in the offense? And I guess there is scope for that, but I guess part of that is also on Patrick, in the sense that one of the things that I have been picking up from Patrick Williams, and it's similar to Wendell Carter in a similar sense, and these guys, I don't know if they get in their own head as such, but they're very comfortable letting other guys do the work. And that's because they're team first players. Maybe they're a little bit shy. Maybe they don't necessarily want to go in there and disturb the hierarchy sort of thing. But is part of it on Patrick Williams to have a little bit more confidence, a little bit more, just a little bit more confidence in his own ability to go out there and maybe, you know, try to demand a position within this offense where he is somewhat of a focal point?
Yeah, I think that it's pretty natural for rookies to try to fit in, to focus on doing their job first, and then, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that come from your job second. And that turn happens for different guys at different points. I think a thing that struck me watching the Bulls was that Pat isn't super optimized on offense. An action that they run occasionally, but I think should be spammed quite a bit, is a Zach-Pat pick and roll where they clear out one side and have Pat slip the screen to flare into big space, and then Zach has the choice to attack the defense as it's rotating or kick to Pat for basically a one-on-one in a half court that's wide open. And that gave Pat, you know, a number of catch and shoot threes and also the opportunity to attack Dilt's defense. But those lineups are hard to get to where you want Pat to be the screener, because there's Wendell who ideally, you know, he isn't suited to being in the dunker spot all the time. Thad, now that he's a passing wizard, you want the ball to run through him. So I think that the lineups where you would tell Pat, these are the ones where we need you to be more aggressive or harder to get to, because they may not be the ones that would win you basketball games. And when you're threatening for the four seed, that's where your brain is at when constructing lineups. So I think that if a trade is made to consolidate, you know, two players into one playoff piece, or if the Bulls fall out of the playoff picture and then start to look towards a rebuilding year, we might see some tinkering with those lineups. But I think getting him into places where the lineups force him to be aggressive, rather than asking him to create when he's being played as like the two, that might be asking for a little much considering how he's wired, but instead thinking of the circumstance first.
Yeah, no, they're all good points. And I certainly take your point on the, you know, how the Bulls offense functions and the fact that, you know, it is difficult to get Pat on the ball, I guess. And a lot of the Bulls offense from the power forward point of view, like even Larry Markkanen, there's not a lot of times where he's screening on ball. He and Zach aren't necessarily involved a ton together, but yeah, that extends to Patrick Williams just due to the fact that Wendell Carter and Thad Young are almost exclusively the guys that are screening for the Bulls at this point. And I mean, part of that is the fact that they're the only two bigs that the Bulls are running with at this point, given that Lowry is out and the rest of the other Bulls backups are not good at all. So in that sense, yeah, Patrick is constantly kind of off the ball in the corners a lot, which brings me to my next point. And I guess I wanted just to get your thoughts on Patrick Williams' jumper, because from my point of view, when I'm watching this guy, it kind of feels like he's got a different jumper when he's spotting up in the corner to what he has when he's sort of peeling off screens and getting into that mid-range jumper that he has. And he just looks so much more confident, more fluid into that mid-range jumper, whereas that sort of three-point shot, whether it's in the corner or whether it's, you know, wherever it may be, he's often in the corner on the wing. It kind of feels a little bit more robotic. I kind of don't know what's going to happen with it. Now, granted, he's shooting a really good percentage from his corner three, so the results are paying off. But in terms of the look and feel and the aesthetics of that jump shot, like when he's going into that mid-range jumper, it just looks like cash. The moment it leaves his hand, whereas when we're in the corner jumper, it's a little bit more rockety, let's say, and I'm not 100% sure where it's going down. And maybe I should be, because the return has been really good thus far. But what are your thoughts about his jump shooting thus far, you know, in the different areas of his jump shot, and what the scope is potentially from Pat from a jump shooting point of view?
So I think the biggest improvement I've seen from high school and college to his time in the Bulls is that his hip bend is a lot better. His lower legs used to look really, really robotic. To the point where it sometimes took off and landed in the same spot, which is a thing that you shouldn't do because you generally want your momentum to be moving forward.
Yeah.
The slight hitch that's like 3/4 of the way through his jumper is a thing that has been there when he needs to create a little more power. I think that it's a matter of time of smoothing it out. It used to be worse. It's better now. Okay. But I think that the rep adjustment in time will get it there. The biggest issue that I have with his form is that as it currently stands, it's very hard to shoot off the dribble. And I think that this presents itself for times where guys like Zach and Kobe, if they have a sliver of space, they know exactly how much space they need to shoot. And sometimes Pat, it feels like he's still adjusting to NBA defense where he has enough space to shoot, but he's still trying to figure out, can I shoot this off the dribble or not? Which when you're a 40% three-point shooter, you'd think like, if it's even close, man, shoot it. But that processing, I think, comes from that hitch at the top. It'll get smoothed out in time. I don't think it's super dramatic. I think it's mostly a shot selection thing rather than a mechanical issue.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's good to hear. And I guess you just touched on it there. Like the one, when I was talking about improvement areas that I want to see from Patrick going forward in those, you know, 20 blocks of games. And whilst his numbers and percentages from three are quite good, they're beating the expectations that I had, I want to see the volume start ticking up. And there are occasions where he is open for a three-pointer, whether it's in the corner or elsewhere, where for whatever reason he's very comfortable sort of shot faking and going into a dribble, a couple of dribbles onto the left-hand side of his body, I suppose, and tries to go left. He's sort of, it's almost to the point now where every game he sort of gets called for a travel on that move. Yeah, for whatever reason he wants to get to the mid-range or he wants to get to the left-hand side to drive that way. Maybe he wants to come back inside eventually, but he goes left often. It has been somewhat problematic in that sense, but there are occasions where you're just thinking, why aren't you going up and shooting, Patrick? So, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to say yes, but is there scope for this guy to be someone who's shooting 5, 6, 7 threes a game, and, you know, in the same way that Lonzo Ball is throwing up 7 threes a game, the same way Larry Markin is shooting 7 or 8, maybe even more threes a game? Like, I bring up those two guys because they are guys that we as Bulls fans are locking in on right now as, you know, release valves within the offense. Larry's obviously on the team. Lonzo, maybe we hope, is on the team. But can Patrick be that sort of, you know, when Zach is driving, makes a read, whips it out to the corner, is someone like Patrick Williams in a lot of ways that, you know, Jay Crowder was for the Heat last season, and particularly, you know, through that playoff run? Can he get up 5, 6, 7 threes, maybe even more? Does he have that ability with him from a jump shooting point of view?
Oh, 100%. I'm a believer that if you're a very good jump shooter, there's not really a limit on how many threes you should take if you're open.
Yeah.
The thing that's going to be the issue is that, you know, Pat came from Florida State where they encourage people to take a one dribble pull up if you're a little bit contested.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the Florida State guys have a little bit of a bugaboo, at least initially, about catching and shooting. When it's slightly contested or even like partially contested because they're taught just to pump fake, dribble past the flyby and take a 17 footer. He's taken 3 attempts a game, which is a little bit of a shame because there's a lot more attempts on the table and
yeah.
It can be difficult as a rookie to get taught everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, by the time he's 20, 21, 22, someone's just going to sit him down and say like, hey, this is how much money you're leaving on the table. Right now, that's probably a little bit much to handle, you know, learning a new scheme and dealing with road trips the first time. But there's nothing in his release. There's nothing in his wiring. Like, there, it would shock me if he is not eventually shooting 6.5 threes a game.
Yeah, look, if he can, and if a lot of his offense can come from the three-point line in that sense, then I would be a very, very happy boy. But, I mean, from that point of view, I mean, we've talked about the things that we thought maybe he was prior to the draft, what we're seeing through the first 30 games of the season, how those perceptions may or may not have shifted. But in that sense, based on what we've seen now within the NBA, I mean, what do you ultimately project Patrick Williams to be in the NBA? I don't know if you want to throw out player comparisons. Like I mentioned before, there's a lot of comparisons that a lot of Bulls fans like to go to, some more favorable than others, let's say. But in terms of what you've seen from Pat, both in the NBA, prior to the NBA, what ultimately is a fair outcome for him or a realistic outcome? If you want to throw a comparison onto that, you can. But where do you ultimately see Patrick sort of shaping up within this league?
I would say that a 75-80 percentile outcome for Patrick is an offensive and defensive player who organize and establish their scheme. So the scheme works because of them in the same way mm-hmm. that like, the scheme works because Ben Simmons plays defense a certain way, or the scheme works because Draymond plays a certain way. It is extremely unique to have a young player who has the true shooting free throw attempt rate and basically three-point attempt rate of league average as a rookie, especially when they're a wing.
Mm-hmm.
Often you find most young guys struggle to get to the free throw line. or, you know, all the shots they take are wildly inefficient. I mean, we just spent 3-4 minutes talking about how he doesn't shoot enough threes, but he's almost at league true shooting,
yeah,
despite not taking an ideal shot diet. I would say a fair outcome for him is the best player on a playoff team, and wow, best player on a playoff team that plays a modern sense of basketball.
Wow.
Like that's a solid outcome for me. I don't ever think he's going to be a guy who like shocks you with how he plays, but I think that it's possible that he will, you know, skill develop into getting into that like Kawhi level where it's ugly, but it's still like he's super good. He's just like he makes all the things you just shouldn't do. Like Kawhi has mastered the shoulder pull up where you just like dribble into someone, give them a hard shoulder and pull up. Yeah. It's very 1989, but it works. Not to say that Pat is Kawhi, because no one has been Kawhi before. Nobody will be Kawhi since. But Kawhi is the best player on a finals level team because of the way that his team plays and it plays through him. I would say a step down for Pat is a fair outcome. He is on a very accelerated path, and it's pretty wild to see somebody as young as him get as many of the nuances about the game, which leads me to believe that like there's a lot of winning in his future. It's usually when I talk about rookies, I have to do the opposite thing where it's like, look, I know he's good, but like you guys got to relax. Like I think both men need a little more excitement. Like this is a really, 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 really interesting young guy.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I mean, a lot of our season from a Bulls point of view has been backed by the momentum that, you know, the things that Zach LaVine has showed us. I guess like he's the steps that he's made in his game are very tangible. They're very obvious when you watch it. Whereas Pat, you know, obviously this is his first season, but he's almost stealth-like on the court. Like we've already talked about, like a lot of the value he does bring is so off the ball that maybe you don't even recognize it. But even when he is doing his things, he the way he just goes about it, just his demeanor as well, I guess he doesn't lend himself to the highlight reel, let's say. So in a lot of ways, yeah, a lot of our attention has been on Zach LaVine, rightly so. Maybe a few other players here and there, but yeah, I think you do raise a good point that maybe we need to get a little bit more excited about Patrick Williams. And I think maybe after some people listen to this podcast, perhaps they will, because you did say the magic word there, Peter, and I was sort of trying to hint at it when I was asking that previous question, but didn't necessarily want to make the comp.
It's been lingering for a long time, but going back to pre-draft. I mean, they have the physical dimensions are similar. Never like a confirmed Patrick Williams wingspan, but like Kawhi has much bigger hands. That being said, like I don't lean into comparisons, but like how Kawhi is used, like current Kawhi, the one that can pass really well, is the template that the Bulls should be using for the usage of Patrick Williams. Not necessarily to say they're the same player, but that the way that you can slide him up and down assignments and slide him around to leverage his passing and interesting ways of using his upper or of finding the right isolation against the switch. Like that's the playbook that I would like to see the Bulls steal most.
Yeah, cool. Look, I've tried to mentally like prepare myself that he's not going to get anywhere near Kawhi. That way I don't hurt myself, let's say. But I know there's a lot of people listening to this who are most certainly like to compare Patrick to Kawhi Leonard, and I generally recoil against that. Just a lot of it just due to the fact that I don't want my mind to go there. But if he can even get to 75 to 80% of current Kawhi, I mean that would be an amazing outcome for a guy picked number 4 overall. But I guess the last question that I want to ask you before I let you get away is maybe projecting forward a little bit. I don't know if this is realistically going to happen or even if it should happen, but I don't know if the Bulls are going to be in position to have a top 4, top 5 pick, somewhere in that vicinity. I kind of don't want them to be. I want them to keep progressing the way they are. But if for whatever reason, I don't know, they just miss out on the playoffs, don't necessarily make the play-in tournament, have some lottery luck and sort of push up towards the top of this lottery. Maybe they don't get into the top 2 or 3. Maybe they can't get their hands on Evan Mobley or Cade Cunningham. But you mentioned him before. How would Patrick Williams and someone like Kuminga fit together?
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Kuminga's, again, somebody who also gets the Kawhi comparison because they're, you know, they're the same shape of dude. They're the same, you know, 6'8", strong. Kuminga's a pretty otherworldly athlete. Somebody that, like, I would be interested in for Chicago would be somebody like Jaden Springer, or Keon Johnson, these like strength-based guards who are good passers, maybe not great passers, but can exist in an on-ball, off-ball sense. So if you need somebody to pair with Zach, somebody who doesn't necessarily need the ball in their hands, but can find ways to score without it. Keon's not necessarily a shooter, and Springer is a little bit undersized for like he's a point guard, shooting guard sort of. It's a positionality is going to be fungible, mm-hmm. but that's the beauty of having a player like Patrick Williams is that he can make sense of players who don't necessarily have true positions because the self-organizing principle deepens.
Yeah, and look, to be fair, I haven't watched a ton of these college prospects just yet. I will most certainly be leaning on your expertise in this area throughout the year as we go forward throughout this college season. And obviously, based on where the Bulls season sort of plays itself out, maybe they're not even high enough to be picking these guys. I kind of hope they're not. I don't necessarily want to be talking about the Bulls playing the tanking game or the lottery game, let's say. But I don't know, for whatever reason, one of the guys that I have sort of locked in on and have watched a little bit is Kuminga, and you sort of raised it there, like, how can we put these guys around Zach LaVine to the point where we can get these huge, massive wings around LaVine? I don't know if you necessarily want LaVine to be your primary creator or your lead guy, but in the event that he is in a certain rotation, you put someone like Patrick out there, you put someone like Kuminga out there, maybe you have Kobe out there, I don't know, but like, this is the things where my mind is going. I'm thinking, can I get Kuminga? Can I put Patrick at power forward? Can I put Patrick at center even? Like, these are the things that I'm spitballing at this point, which may not be relevant, given that I'm hoping the Bulls kind of aren't in the position to go and grab Kuminga, but, you know, worst case scenario, it wouldn't be a worst case scenario, I guess.
No, if there was a year to be wing curious, this is the year. This draft is really, really good at one thing, and that's threes and fours. And it's not the first five picks are all wings. I would say that, like, the last interesting wing is going to go, like, at pick 40. And I think one of the most valuable places in this draft is 20 to 40 because there's a whole bunch of wings that either have a flaw or need a specific context to be successful that a team with a plan can really make out well in the same way that, like, there was a lot of point guards in last year's draft that, you know, needed a little bit of a circumstance to be successful. And, you know, Peyton Pritchard and Malachi Flynn have burst on the scene. Malachi in the G League right now, but Peyton Pritchard for the Celtics. There's so many interesting wings that are going to have a similar effect where you look back 6 months later, like, why didn't I see that? It's like, well, this guy had flaws, and because players are interrelated in terms of skills, finding guys to make other guys make sense, which is why, again, having a guy like Patrick Williams who can pass, who can shoot, who can create spacing, who is, you know, sort of this this piece that can be moved around, allows for a draft and team-building philosophy that is much more flexible, where if you, you know, draft a guy like James Wiseman, you have to build a certain way because he requires a very strict sense of team building around him.
That's great to know. Like I said, I'll be leaning on your coverage throughout the coming months as we sort of head towards the close of the college basketball season and obviously the NBA season. We're roughly halfway through the NBA season, and depending on where the Bulls sort of land, obviously that'll sort of shape who I'm necessarily focusing in on. I kind of hope it's not guys like Cade Cunningham. Like, I don't want to be thinking about draft picks that low, but at the same time, just because I'm getting used to this winning feeling again. It's been nice, but at the same time, to your point, if this is kind of the draft where if you're going to be bad, this would be the year. So, but in knowing all that, it's good to hear that it is somewhat of a deep draft, and, you know, even if the Bulls are good, that there's some intriguing prospects, particularly on the wing, because I think that's where the Bulls really need to get their hands on, particularly given the fact that Otto Porter can't seemingly stay healthy, Chandler Hutchinson is currently away from the team, or at least not playing. I'm really thankful we have Patrick Williams right now. That's probably a good place to wrap it up, because I just don't know where this Bulls team would be given that Otto is out, Chandler Hutchinson is out. They don't really have any wings. They're still running a ton of three-guard lineups, even four-guard lineups at times. So I don't know where this team would be without Patrick Williams, which is, you know, a pretty heavy thing to say given he is a 19-year-old rookie, but he has been that important. So, yeah, I've been really encouraged with the first 30-odd games that we've seen. Patrick, here's to hoping the next 30 to 40 games of his rookie season are just as good, if not better. So we'll end it there, PD. I'll let you go, mate, but I appreciate you jumping on. Before I let you get away, though, please tell the listeners where they can follow your work online.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm on Twitter at AboveTheBreak3. My work can be found on Patreon, where the work is free. If you can swing a couple bucks, it'd be much appreciated. It helps me pay for stats and video packages. I am currently working through the last draft class in a series that I call Youth Summit, where, you know, I watch a handful of games and try to get a feel for where I was right, where I was wrong, and who's developed in what ways. And the Patrick Williams one was handled last week. So look through that bullet stance if you're looking for a little more in-depth analysis. Other than that, thank you so much for having me.
No, perfect, mate. I certainly encourage people to go do that, and I'm very thankful that you were able to give me some of your time here. Very much appreciated, and assuming you're not swooped up by an NBA team in the short term, if you'd be comfortable coming back on later on to maybe talk some prospects when we know more about where the Bulls are sort of headed from a draft point of view. Again, we'll see where that is. That could go a number of different ways based on this season. Maybe we can have you back later on to talk about the 2021 draft later on. But in the interim, I really do appreciate you coming on and getting me a little bit more hyped about Patrick Williams. That was the intent. That was what I was hoping for, at least. And you've certainly done that, PD. Hunts, Bulls fans tuning in, I hope you really enjoyed this episode of Bulls HQ. PD, to my point of view at least, has provided me with a lot of insight about what Patrick is doing, and I'm sure you certainly feel the same. And probably those Bulls fans that do like the Kawhi comparisons, they're probably smiling big right now. But thank you again to PD coming on. Whilst you're out there following PD online, you can do so with me too at MK Hoops. Follow the show on Twitter too, at Bulls HQ Pod. If you want to be part of the Bulls HQ Discord server, send me a DM on Twitter at MK Hoops. We'll give you the link into that Bulls HQ Discord server. Come talk Bulls with over 200 Bulls fans up in that Bulls HQ Discord server. If you want to be part of it, come drop me a DM. But that just about does it for this episode of Bulls HQ. We'll be back again next week to talk about the latest slate of games, all the other things that are going on in Bulls Nation. Maybe we'll have a trade. Who the hell knows? But until then, this has been Bulls HQ. Again, thank you to PD, and thank you to you listeners for tuning in. Speak soon, Bulls fans.